Hello, everyone, and Merry Christmas. I hope that for all of us, today would be a day to celebrate, rest, and remember the coming of Jesus. And I'm so glad that we're able to take some time today to read the Word together. What a privilege it is to do that together as a church. We just finished 1 Peter last week, and if you were following along in those devotions, I hope that it was a blessing to you. Today, we begin in the next letter of 2 Peter, and today's devotion will be from 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'll read that for us. Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Amen. In this letter, the Apostle Peter is addressing the same churches of Asia Minor he was writing to in his first letter. And here in this opening chapter of 2 Peter, Peter reminds these churches about confirming their calling and election by way of mirroring the character of God, what he calls the divine nature. But before he gets into this divine nature, Peter prefaces this with an eye-opening reminder of why we as followers of Christ should mirror the divine nature of Christ. I'll reread and analyze for us verses 3 and 4, which are so densely packed with rich reminders of God's grace to us, the reason for our conforming to the divine nature. Starting with verse 3, it says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Basically, any and everything we know and have experienced that is good and life-giving, every loving encounter, every tender hug, every spirit-filled conversation, every selfless act of sacrifice, every situation that included deep and godly joy, all things that pertain to life and godliness has been granted to us by the divine power of God. That word granted implies grace. It's a gift that was given to us. All of these good things, the fact that we can experience and comprehend them, is a gift granted to us by the divine power of God. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And moving on in verse 3, it says, Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Sometimes when we read passages a little too fast, we might miss the gravity of the divine things that are written here in these pages. But I hope that this passage strikes us today. It says, Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. I think we begin to understand the depth of this passage when we realize the absolute absurdity of what Peter reminds us of here. We who are specks of dust in comparison to the glory and excellence of a mighty and holy God, we who should basically incinerate when our sinful selves are exposed to a holy God's perfect righteousness, we are somehow called. We're called by this kind of God to his very own glory and excellence. Talk about unfair and absurd towards our favor and God's glory. Through all of this, we have become partakers of the divine nature. This is the reason why Peter calls us to maintain the divine nature and character of God, which he lists out in verses 5 to 7. It says, Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Why? Why do we have to uphold this? Because of the absurdity of what God has granted to us, the gift of grace and our calling into his glory and excellence. Virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, love. These are not arbitrary attributes. They are the divine nature of God. All the more, because of what he has granted to us, Peter calls us to confirm our calling and election, to reflect this character of our God. Perhaps some of us have tried to reflect this divine nature of God, but eventually maybe we were met with a wall of frustration because it was too difficult to maintain. And if that's the case, I want to encourage us today to remember why we are called to this. The infinite, cosmic, divine, yet at the very same time, tender, warm, and personal grace of God that has been poured out for us to receive. Let's let this grace be our fuel, our reason for conforming to his divine nature. What an honor and privilege to do so. Let's pray. Lord, who are we that you have granted us such a gift that is so great in magnitude and depth that we've only begun to scratch the surface of understanding what it truly means? What can we say, Lord, but thank you? Thank you, Lord, for granting us your grace and your favor. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the ability to comprehend and understand your divine nature. What an honor it is to reflect your good and perfect character. So, Lord, may we continue to conform and confirm our calling by practicing these godly qualities. May we be fervent in this. So, Lord, we ask for your guidance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.